Western Australian Premier Mark McGowan has released a policy documenting his government's priorities. And regarding Aboriginal incarceration, he wanted to reduce youth reoffending by 2023 to no more than 50% of young offenders returning to detention. But why just recidivism? I asked Amnesty International spokesperson Tammy Solonik why Aboriginal children were disproportionately locked up.
Well, look, a lot of the laws disproportionately affect our children. In Western Australia, there's some laws in Western Australia that don't apply in other places, such as mandatory sentencing of children for home burglaries. We've got this thing called a responsible adult in Western Australia, which is very difficult for kids to get bailed to. So there's lots of issues with bail accommodation. So there's a whole range of legislative and policy reasons why our children are so highly overrepresented.
And as part of that also, you know, when you're saying a responsible adult, is part of that because there's a lot of remote communities or there's a lot of distance to cover as well?
Yeah, there's that too. But even in Perth, you know, the responsible adults who the children are bailed to are not given appropriate support. There's a real lack of bail accommodation programs. It's not just in regional remote areas, it's across the state. And, you know, kids on remand is an issue not just in Western Australia, but it's an issue everywhere. So we were happy that the West Australian government have put targets out. So we want governments to be accountable, but we were just a bit surprised that there's a target to reduce Aboriginal incarceration generally, but for children, the target is just to reduce repeat offending, whereas we really need to stop those kids from entering the justice system in the first place.
So why do you think they have targeted repeat offending rather than just give a general figure?
Look, there is a lot of evidence to show that repeat offending is a big problem in Western Australia. So it's the same kids getting into trouble, and obviously, you know, they're coming out of Banksia, which is the only juvenile detention centre there, and they're repeat offending. So there's something going seriously wrong if these children are being, you know, detained and locked up and released and then going back and doing the same thing. And that's been known for a long time in Western Australia, that they need to put a lot more effort on those families and those children to ensure they get put onto the right pathways. So I think they think that that will bring the numbers down the most. But you have a look at the stats of kids in Banksia. So there was a Telethon Institute study that showed that 1 in 3 children have fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, FASD. So it would make sense to put prevention programs for FASD kids in place and things like that. So we're saying we can understand where the West Australian government is coming from, looking at the repeat offenders, but it's not enough. We need to also stop children from entering in the first place.
And is FASD a big problem in Western Australia?
Yeah, it is. There have been some studies up in Fitzroy Crossing, and a lot of the children who end up in Banksia have some form of brain injury or some sort of disability, or generally children who end up in the justice system come from some form of disadvantage. You know, so it's that disadvantage and that underlying causal reasons for their offending that need to be addressed. And just, you know, locking them up obviously isn't doing it, because the repeat offending rates are so high.
Aren't there programs in Banksia to reduce recidivism?
If Banksia was working, we wouldn't see the repeat offending rates that we're seeing. So it's obviously not working.
And is it working better in other states? Like, could they look at the other states' facilities and think, well, maybe we could do this in Perth?
Yeah, so I think that the Northern Territory Royal Commission was a landmark report which had a lot of great recommendations. So all of that work has been put into what a good detention centre should look like, so they can learn off those sorts of things. But there's also, you know, that element of raising the age. So we don't want little children. We don't want, like, 10 to 14-year-olds in with 17, 18-year-olds. Those sorts of things that will make changes.
Yeah, well, I mean, you would think that with children you want to have a different system that you would have with adults.
Yeah.
And we haven't in the past, have we?
No. You know, people don't realise. They call it detention centres. We stopped calling them detention centres a while because they're prisons. You know, we put little children as young as 10 in prisons, in harsh prison-like, you know, they have to wear their prison greens and they're in these little cubicles, and it's just no way. And imagine, you know, 16, 17-year-old boys with all that energy locked down for so long. It's not good for kids. So we need to look at international best practice and best practice across the country. So we do everything we can to stop those kids from you know, living the rest of their life in the justice system, because we often see the kids go from child protection to juvenile justice to adult justice, and that's the cycles that we have to break.
Tammy Solonik from Amnesty International ending that report.